Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop. For this Wednesday, August 21st, I'm Ray Graff. Joining us again this afternoon is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew owns a practice in Saratoga Springs, New York, and PhysioFit Physical Therapy in Saratoga, Clifton Park, and Albany. He is here to answer your questions about orthopedics and sports medicine today. So if you have an injured or aching knee, shoulder, elbow, back, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also reach out to us via email at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Physical therapy, Matthew Goodemote, and your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after this news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs, New York. His 20 years of experience includes exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. Matthew is one of just 355 specialists with his diploma from the McKenzie Spine Institute International. This year, Matthew founded PhysioFit Physical Therapy in Saratoga, Clifton Park, and Albany. It's a cash-based physical therapy practice that specializes in prevention, continuing PT care after insurances no longer authorize visits, and progressing patients beyond normal daily activities. If you have an ache or a pain that you think physical therapy can remedy, give us a call. We'll talk to the expert. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But the number, if you want to call, is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
You know, in the introduction, we mentioned this newer endeavor of yours, PhysioFit Physical Therapy. What is the difference between the three that you are now running, PhysioFits, and the first one that you opened, Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga?
So Goodemote Physical Therapy is in Saratoga, and it's insurance-based primarily. And what happened was about a year ago, it's been brewing inside me for several years, but about a year ago, I decided to venture back out and start another practice. And this time we go into the fitness centers. So the name physio is Danish for physical therapy. And my wife is from Denmark. That's where that comes from.
Ah.
And then we go into—
You know, we're buying Greenland.
Yeah. Yes, I read that. Perfect.
So anyway.
Yeah. So we go to the fitness centers. And the idea behind it is prevention. So we do screenings. I had a lot of patients after physical therapy that were wanting to transition into a fitness center and were a little nervous to do so or not really 100% ready to go in that environment. So I just kind of connected some dots and thought, get in there, prevent some injuries, transition people from therapy, especially when insurances expire. And then we take it all the way through to sports performance. I have three therapists, and one of them just took a high school athlete from the start of ACL reconstruction all the way back, and she's on the team right now playing.
All right, give us an example, a hypothetical example. Somebody starts with physical therapy. They're injured.
Yep.
They start with physical therapy, and they do what? And then what happens? What's the next step after that?
Well, it'll range from a variety of things. So we do things for women with osteoporosis. It's primarily women. That's why I said that. Men can have osteoporosis.
Right.
So we would take them in if, let's say, they had hip pain, and we would help to resolve the hip pain.
This is at Goodemote Physical Therapy.
Correct.
Okay.
And then transitioning them into PhysioFit, where we want to teach them how to use weights because it's very good for bone density to lift weights. So we want to do it in a fitness-like center where we can have some weights, first of all, in a bigger space and things like that.
Interesting that the insurance industry will allow it only up to a certain point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really a big frustration for physical therapists. I was just talking to my staff about an hour ago, and most physical therapists are tired of being dictated by the insurance companies what to do. And we'd rather just treat patients and help them get better in whatever avenue it is. So we take athletes to sport, take older people back into anything to do with recreational activities. I have lots of runners that come to see me, and I have a couple that are, you know, pretty high level runners, and just keeping them in shape and prepared for the season.
Running is a fairly impact-intensive thing to do.
It can be, yes.
What do you mean? If you're running on the moon, it might be less. But
there is a big part of the cadence when you're running. So the faster your feet turn over, the less impact there is. There's a lot of misconceptions about runners and running specifically. So one of my big pet peeves is I have to back up just a second. I was part of this big running cohort over the last couple of years where we learned it's a group of physical therapists around the country, and we basically review all the research that's been done on runners.
Yeah.
And so, for example, one of the most common things runners will do when they're injured is, quote, take it easy. So they'll jog instead of run. And jogging actually increases the forces, not decreases.
Oh.
So I like to tell people it's like hopping from one foot to another as opposed to just running. So the better approach, a better approach would be to run like a minute and then walk for a little bit. So either run your race and run your regular speed or walk. And that jogging notion is not what I recommend to people when they're coming off injury, especially.
Fascinating. Matthew Goodemote is our guest today. Physical therapy on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you have a question. What's the most common injury a long distance or a runner or a sprinter will have and they'll come to see you?
It's usually the slower the runner, the injuries range from below the knee. So it would be things like shin splints, some Achilles tendonitis, plantar fasciitis. Faster runners tend to have problems more in their hips and hamstring area. So
which are more difficult to deal with?
Plantar fasciitis is one of the hardest to deal with, partly because it's generally something that takes a lot longer to recover from than just a sprain or strain. So,
is there physical therapy that can be done for something like that? Or one of those cases where you have to take it easy? That's on the bottom of your foot, right?
Right, yeah. So the plantar fascia is a tissue that attaches from your heel bone to your big toe. And it gets irritated and or inflamed. There's some work being done right now in the science world to talk about, is it actually inflammation? Is it micro tearing? What's actually happening to the fascia itself? And most people who have plantar fasciitis will also have something going on with their Achilles or a muscle that goes down along the inside of the foot called the posterior tibialis. So we generally, when someone comes in with a plantar fasciitis, we're going to work on their calf as much as we are their plantar fascia, doing manual techniques, but we also do a lot of strengthening exercises for the foot itself as well as the calf muscles.
But the running would stop. It would be on hold at that point.
Depends, Ray.
Really?
Yeah.
Depends upon what?
Because there's sometimes where the plantar, you ask tricky questions because there are people who are about to have a big race, and much like a lot of professional athletes or high-level athletes, you go to a physical therapist to keep you in the game towards a big race or a big event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly if someone had a race that's 6 months out, absolutely you want to pull them out of the competition and rehab them properly. I just had a woman that was, she and her brother go to each state to run a half marathon. So her marathon was on July 4th, and so she had plantar fasciitis, and we worked on her to minimize the risk of further injury and to allow her to run a race. And then, yes, we rest her a few weeks, and then we start right in with exercise.
And are custom orthotics involved?
Orthotics.
No?
So,
is this something that you don't like to talk about?
I'm controversial, Ray.
Oh.
So the orthotics can be very helpful, yes, and especially with something like a plantar fasciitis. However, the example I often tell my patients is an orthotic can be like a cast that you put on your arm. It serves its purpose to protect your arm while it's dealing with a fracture or otherwise. But while you're in a cast, your muscles get weak and your bones, your joints get stiff. So a similar thing can happen when you wear orthotics exclusively. Your foot muscles get weaker and your joints can get more stiff.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Our guest today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. If you have an ache or a pain or you have a question about physical therapy, good time to call us right now. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number, and physical therapy is the topic today. Matthew Goodemote joins us. This one came in via email from Mike in Saratoga. Can Matthew suggest the top three things for a man approaching 60 years old that he could do to daily to avoid injuries and hopefully in under 30 minutes per day? Sit on a couch, Mike. Relax.
So the number one thing I would have somebody do is to make sure they're changing positions, meaning don't be stationary all day. Don't sit all day. Be up and be active. So that, without a doubt, would be my number one. As far as prevention, there's I just wrote an article for Saratoga Today, and there's a lot of people out there who want to do stretching for injury prevention. And the researchers have shown us that stretching doesn't actually prevent injury.
Now, wait a minute. Hold the phone here. Now, you see athletes who stretch their hammies out before they're on the football field or baseball field.
Right.
You know, from a young age, these guys are taught to stretch.
Right.
That is completely wrong?
Completely is a strong word, but when you think about what you're doing when you're stretching is you're trying to elongate the tissue. And when you're trying to do something like, let's say, lift weights, you're trying to contract the muscle. So that's just one of those type of things that I'm not a big advocate of doing a lot of stretching prior to. There's a lot more science behind it, though. So you break down cross bridges. It makes your muscles less responsive to exercise. My wife does not agree with this, by the way. So when I wrote the article, it was a bit controversial. And I really was
in your own house.
Writing it. Yeah.
Well, you know, so defer to your wife. It's a wise decision.
Right.
You're kind of a radical, aren't you?
Yes and no. So I do get nervous when I talk about it because I know people are really particular about their beliefs and they're very strong advocates towards things. But the science doesn't back it up. So I do my best to follow what research is showing us, also knowing that it does change. I mean, there was a time when we thought that icing was the best strategy after injury, and now we know it's not the best strategy after
injury. What is the best strategy?
So it depends, because if you have something like a muscle strain, you want to move. You do not want to rest it, and you don't want to ice it. You want blood flow to the area. So I generally recommend things like compression and blood flow, which is movement.
Right.
So for injury prevention,
it can hurt, though, after you've had an injury,
yes,
right?
Yes, but pain during movement doesn't mean stop. It's the pain that lasts. So if you have, like, let's say you rolled your ankle, and it's going to hurt to put some weight through it. So you want to be cautious, but you want to do the range of motion to reestablish full range of motion first and to get rid of your swelling. And by doing those things, the pain levels actually come down and therefore letting you put weight through it. So they kind of go
hand in hand. A little counterintuitive.
Yes. Well, it is, because in the 1970s, this guy came up and said we should ice it, and everybody jumped on board and believed it. And now we're realizing through science and studies that it may not be the most effective approach.
Matthew Goodemote is our guest today. Physical therapy on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Let's go to another Matthew, this one in Burlington. You're on.
Hi, my name is Matthew Toll, and I'm actually just calling about a phenomenon I recently learned about, which is that the foot arch actually drops over the course of time. And so I've looked for different shoes, and I'm just curious if you can identify or tell me ways of finding proper shoes that will help keep the arch stable, both in sandals, dress shoes, and like regular running or sneakers.
So that's the notion that the arch will drop over time. There's a lot of reasons modern foot will have that problem, and some of the problem has to do with the shoes, so it's a good idea to think about that. The muscles of your foot are incredibly strong and resilient, so they can help to maintain your arch. So one of the things I recommend is change. You don't want to wear the exact same shoe. That's part of my issue that I have with orthotics as well, that people will wear them all the time. And when you're doing that, your foot will mold to what you're wearing. So the best thing you can do when you're looking for shoes is to try to find a toe box that's wide so you have room for your toes, and to minimize how much of a heel you're wearing. So most modern sneakers, for example, have a big heel on the back, and you want to try to keep that to as little as possible. As far as arches and shoes, if you're going to have like a sneaker with an arch support, you wouldn't need a sandal with an arch support and your dress shoe. So you want to mix it up is the bottom line. And the more we mix things up, the more our joints are capable and the more our muscles of the foot will stay strong. Okay.
Thanks.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
A lot. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote is our guest today. Andrea in Western Massachusetts is up. Andrea.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I was curious about older people in the age 70s with orthotics for flat feet and ankle turning inward.
Right.
What are the thoughts on that, please? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So when it comes to an orthotic, just like everything else, there's a time and place for it. And so there are people out there where they have a bone in the arch that will collapse on them. That's a very real thing that happens, and they absolutely need an arch support. There's a lot of people out there, however, that have a hip issue. And basically what's happening is you're externally rotating your hip. And when that happens, it gives the impression that your foot is flattening. And so when we turn our hips out, our foot will naturally pronate. And so there's a lot of people out there who've been given orthotics because they actually have a rotation in their hip. The heel position is a big part of this. So your calcaneus or your heel bone, if it's angled inward, which is called eversion with an E, eversion, those people can in fact need an orthotic to help to control the foot. All that being said, I still recommend people who need orthotics when they're walking around and standing a lot still take time every day to walk around barefooted for the sake of their muscle and for the sake of these nerves in our feet called proprioceptors, which tell our body where our foot is in space.
Ah.
So orthotics are helpful for certain people. One more little pet peeve for people in their 70s and above. A lot of times people think more cushion is good for your feet. I don't believe that. I believe that that actually makes it more difficult for your feet because your feet are trying to feel the ground to sense where you are in space. And so if you have too much cushion between the two of the foot and the ground, then you don't get that feedback. Okay. I'm controversial today.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the next call and see what else happens.
Stir the pot, yeah.
800-348-2551, the number here on Vox Pop. Phil in Amsterdam. Phil.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
Hi there.
Yeah. What is your technique for approaching Achilles tendonitis? I mean, I find it difficult to walk.
Yeah.
Do you get a boot or something like that, or stretches, or...
Right. So
before you start, what is tendonitis?
Tendonitis, by definition, means inflammation of a tendon.
Okay, now go ahead.
So a tendonitis of the Achilles, first of all, Phil, if you're in the 40-plus age group, you have to be a little bit cautious because we have a higher episode of tearing the Achilles. So sometimes people have a tear to the Achilles and it will be called a tendonitis, which it probably is that too, because it does get inflamed. Mm-hmm. So you want to be careful, but one of the most important things for a tendon is actually strengthening. And so rather than doing a lot of stretching initially, what I would do is range of motion, which basically means you do the same type of thing as you would with a stretch, except you don't stay in it. So instead of like stretching the Achilles for 20, 30 seconds, I would have you just get into the motion for 3 to 5 seconds, because you do want to try to reestablish full range of motion. But then strengthening-wise, one of the best things to do is isometrics, which means you don't move when you're contracting the muscle. So with the Achilles, I have people sitting down in a chair with their foot up on a little step, and then I put a weight on their knee and have them lift the knee into the air and then hold it up there. So basically they're making the muscle contract, and then I have them count to 30 and then real slow and deliberate lower it down to the ground and then repeat. And then I do the same thing in standing. There's two muscles that make up your Achilles. One is called the gastrocnemius. The other is called the soleus. And the two of them you strengthen different ways, one with the knee bent, one with the knee straight. So that would be what I would recommend.
Thank you, Phil. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemote is with us today. And Christine in Great Barrington, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I have been diagnosed with iliotibial band syndrome on my left hip.
Yep.
And it's very painful.
Yes. Where is your pain? Is it by your knee or by your hip?
By my hip.
What is it, first of all?
So the IT band stands for iliotibial.
Right.
Ilium is your pelvis bone. Tibia is your shin bone. So it's this long tendon that goes all the way down the outside of your leg.
Okay.
And oftentimes this is a result of having a problem actually with weakness in the butt muscles.
Ah.
And so one of the first things we do in our office is we would evaluate the hip joint and we would check the soft tissue around it, including the glutes. And then going down along the side of the thigh, the muscles of the thigh, which would be your quadriceps and then your lateral hamstrings. And we would do soft tissue work there. And then we would teach you a bunch of strengthening exercises for your butt. And those muscles would include things that are like putting bands around your knees, laying flat on your back, and keep your feet together, pull the bands apart, and then lift your butt in the air. So it's a bridge with a band around the knees, and it's one of my favorite exercises for this type of condition.
It's probably best to do that exercise when no one's watching, Christine, I'm thinking.
Right. Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Matthew Goodemot is our guest.
Can I say something about that? Because one of the things that's very common for IT band is also to foam roll. And it's one of the physical therapy in my office's pet peeve because it's very...
You got a lot of pet peeves
I
today.
I know.
Did you get any sleep last night?
The calls that are coming in are all those kind of quirky questions.
Just calm down.
So the foam rolling, you're not going to actually do much to that big tendon. So foam rolling the muscle in the thigh and foam rolling the hamstring is fine, but the tendon itself... It's not going to do a whole heck of a lot to do that. So right. A lot of people will come in and they, I've been foam rolling for months, and well, it's great, but it's not really doing what you need it to do. So,
take a step back. Are you going to punch anybody in the head today? Am I safe here? Okay.
No.
All right, here we go. Let's go to
all is well.
Celine in Williamstown. Celine, you're on.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I'm 70 years old, and I had a left knee replacement last December.
Yes.
I did not do any physical therapy because I'm a bad girl. And now it hurts a lot. What are my options?
Where does it hurt specifically?
Right across the knee going up and down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's likely the muscle and the tendon that goes over top of the knee. So anytime you have a knee replacement, they do a big incision right down the middle of that. And so one of the first things you need to do is start playing with your scar if you've not been doing that already. A lot of times we'll get adhesions that form underneath the scar and make it more painful to do things with the knee. If you still have swelling, then you absolutely need to elevate. And the more elevation you do to get rid of the swelling, the better the knee will feel. And then however much motion, if you have full motion, you can't move it anymore, fine. But if not, then I would work on especially the bending type of motion. And then the final thing is you need to do strengthening. And so even though it's been a while, it's probably not a bad idea to get into a physical therapist and have them demonstrate and teach you some exercises that you can do at home. There's a lot of stuff you can do with that, and we see that pretty regularly. Mm. So, and there's a lot of hope for that too, by the way. So your knee shouldn't still hurt that bad.
I need hope. Yeah.
What'd you say, Celine?
I said I need hope.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, good luck. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number on Vox Pop. John in Del Mar. John, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I've had a sort of long intermittent problem with hip pain, especially when walking long distances like on cement. I think that instability contributed to a fall in a karate class where I tore my ACL recently and had it repaired or, a cadaverous replacement, or sure. All that. I have since had horrendous hip pain now. There's a popping constantly. I have a hard time walking, and the pain's on the outside of the hip, the front, and the groin, depending on the moment.
Yeah.
Just wondering if there's anything I can do to avoid a hip replacement now.
Oh, have you had x-rays of the hip?
Yeah, and I just found, you know, arthritis.
Okay.
MRIs.
So there's quite a bit you can do it, and you know, to avoid a hip replacement, I always recommend trying things. I can't say for sure if you can avoid it because some people's hips are just too far gone to avoid. But in the hip joint and the groin is a specific for the joint, but there's also some muscle that runs through there. So some of that popping that you're experiencing can, in fact, be coming from muscle and specifically weakness. So those deep muscles inside the pelvis are called the psoas, for example, in your iliacus. We do manual therapy first to calm the tension down in the muscles, and then we teach you how to do strengthening exercises. And then it's one of those things you want to strengthen pretty much the entire hip region. But the first thing is you try to always maximize how much mobility you have. And mobility means how much the joint moves as well as how well the tissue moves. So starting with mobility is a good idea, and then going into strength would be the general recommendation. And at this stage, I would say, yes, you can avoid surgery, but forever, I'm not sure of that. It's worth trying some exercise for sure.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're
welcome. John, thanks for using the term cadaverous replacement. I've written it down, and I'll be using it at cocktail parties and whatnot. Thank you very much. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemot. You want to become a doctor someday?
No.
No? You're okay?
Yes. I'm good.
Raking it in as you are, eh? All right. Robert in Albany. Robert, you're on.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Quick question. I'm just trying to make sure I heard correctly. I lift weights, and I stretch all the time before I do. Plus, I do run 5 minutes to get the blood flowing on a treadmill and stuff. But are you saying that it's
kind of, you don't have to stretch
before
you lift weights?
What I'm saying is there's a better approach. One of my physical therapists just actually wrote an article on this that we're going to be putting up on our website sometime as a blog post. But it's basically, we call it movement prep as opposed to stretching. For example, if you're about to go do a squat, then rather than getting on the treadmill and jogging for a few minutes and then trying to stretch your hip flexors or your glute muscles, what we recommend is you would go in and do some foam rolling. So you foam roll the glutes, you foam roll your thighs, and then we do some movement prep. And we would do some bands on the feet to warm up your glutes. We do a little exercise like marching to warm up your hip flexors. And basically, you're trying to prepare your body for the very sport you're about to do. So just like in the old-fashioned days when people would do basketball, they do the layup line, that's actually a pretty good warm-up because you're going through the motions of something you're actually going to do on the court. And so that's the kind of things we call it movement prep as opposed to stretching. So a lot of people will go into the gym because they were taught that you need to stretch out first, but it's really there's not a lot of good reasons to do it, or I should say it differently. There's more effective things you can do to prepare yourself to prevent injury and make sure you're in, you know, proper warm ups to do the lifts. So,
okay, because I hate stretching anyway.
I just gave you the excuse. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, be careful, Robert. Yeah. You know, is there any controversy to what you just said? Are there those who say, "Hey, wait a minute,
good
emotes out to lunch on this"?
Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of good meaning people out there. But as an example, Ray, they do these things called meta analysis, where they will actually review all the research that's been done. And specifically when we're talking to stretching, there's been no evidence that it prevents injury. And so back in the old days, we did all that stretching before sports, and then it became you have to do a proper dynamic warm-up. And so the dynamic warm-up would be a better approach than a sustained stretch. Some of it has to do with neurological reasons. So you're trying to excite your nervous system to be prepared for sport or lifting, and stretching decelerates or slows the whole thing down. So it, just in that kind of reason, I wouldn't have somebody going through a sustained stretch before lifting or other exercise.
Well, I hope Robert's okay.
He'll be calling you. I feel confident that if he does what I suggested, foam rolling and warming up, he'll be okay.
As long as he does his homework and does it properly.
Yes, yes.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemote is here on Vox Pop today. And let's go to Dan in Red Hook. Dan, you're on.
Hello. Thanks for having my taking my call. I'm 74.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, I developed a groin pull.
Yes.
In the right groin.
Yep.
And it's hanging around quite a while. I'm trying to exercise and keep moving it and stretching it.
Yep.
But I had a blood clot in that area.
Yeah.
A few years back, actually, maybe over 5 years back.
Yeah.
I was wondering if a clot like that might contribute to muscle damage in that area.
Have you had an x-ray, Dan?
Right now, no.
No, because the groin pain can be your joint. So it could be that you have some arthritis in your joint, and it's often misdiagnosed as a groin pull. And unfortunately, I was guilty of this myself. I had a patient that came in with a groin pull. He had a slip, so it made sense. That's what I thought it was. But it turned out to be a degenerated hip, and it led to a hip replacement. Anytime someone comes to me with a history of a blood clot, it is worth being evaluated because obviously blood clots can be fatal.
Yeah.
So the first thing I would do is talk to your family doctor and get an x-ray of the hip to see what's going on. Generally speaking, a groin pull would be something like in a 2 to 4 week time frame. So if it's something that you don't even recall doing, then it's not a groin pull. You would have to have an event to make it a strain to the muscle. So if you don't recall a specific event, then my guess is you have the beginnings of some arthritis and you would want to get an x-ray of that. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything real bad. You may just need to do some exercise. But with a history of a blood clot, I would absolutely recommend you get somebody to take a look at that and make sure that it is safe to do exercise and whatnot.
Dan, thank you for the call. We have to take a quick break here. Matthew Goodemote is our guest today. We talk physical therapy on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Thank you. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551, the number. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis, came in and said this went out over the air as a weather warning. But the Department of Redundancy Department recommends that I read it again. The National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for Fulton and Montgomery counties in New York until 3:10 p.m.
Wow.
Keep it at WAMC. We'll have updates for you throughout. Some crazy weather.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents live in Fulton County. So.
Okay. You want to call them?
No.
I can
wait.
Okay. No. All right. Fine.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, Matthew's parents. Listen. This email came in from Arnie. I did something to one elbow when I was splitting wood in June. I have some pain and weakness when I move the arm certain ways and pain when gripping or squeezing with my hand. Pain is around the tip of the elbow. What could it be, or what should I do beside not split wood? And that's from Arnie.
So we have a program at our office where you come to our house and split wood for us so we can watch your technique.
Cut it out.
So around the tip of the elbow, your tricep attaches there, so you could have strained the tricep. There's also your ulnar nerve, which comes right through the ulnar groove right by that region, so you could have also irritated that. Splitting wood probably is okay, but it is something you would want to get looked at to discern which one it is, and then there's appropriate treatments.
Okay. This one's from Clara, and Clara writes, I'm a 64-year-old woman who has arthritic pain in both hands on one trigger finger. On waking up in the morning and several times during the day, I have to do a regimen of exercises that I found online in order to reduce the discomfort. I have recently started taking a turmeric capsule daily with no discernible improvement. Is this condition doomed to continue or worsen? I would like to find a self-help regimen that would improve and maybe remove my hand discomfort completely.
Well, the first thing is anytime people come in with arthritis in the hands, I absolutely recommend using them. So one of the big mistakes people make when they're – any joint, actually, where there's arthritis is they avoid using them because they hurt, and that will actually make it worse. So specifically with the hands, I will go through just a range of motion exercise where I teach someone how to do range of motion for individual fingers and then for the whole hand as a complex. And the pain comes from the degeneration in the joints. It comes from some swelling in there. So you can buy some gloves that have some compression to them, which will help some of the symptoms. You can't make arthritis go away. So to make it go away is, or to make the pain go away completely would be a very bold statement that I'm not prepared to make today.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote is our guest. Physical therapy today on the program. And we go to Vicki in Lake Luzerne. Hello, Vicki.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was just about to hang up because I'm at work. I'm in my car.
Sorry.
But I'll quick ask my question. I had a hip replacement, anterior hip replacement, 19 months ago. And I still have pain in that. It seems to be like the IT band all the way from my, it's pain and swelling. My one thigh is an inch bigger than the other one.
Oh, yes. So you definitely need to address the swelling. And the pain is probably coming from the swelling.
Well, I didn't ask the doctor about it, and we have to get in the parking garage here at work. and they did say, sometimes their answer to the swelling was sometimes the soft tissue redistributes. That was their answer.
So regardless of that, what I would recommend is they have things you can buy online or even at some sporting goods stores where you can get compression pants. And I would highly advocate you to get those as soon as possible. The soft tissue will remodel based on the surgery, and you can have some changes to the appearance of things. But if you're noticing that large of a discrepancy, that would suggest swelling. And swelling will absolutely cause pain. There's some quick things you can do. You can try elevation and see after elevating your legs for 20 minutes how that feels. And if you see some improvements, then you've just conclusively determined that swelling is related to it. There's also things manual therapists, and that can come in form of physical therapy or massage therapy, can do to help reduce that. And those are all easy, safe ways to find out if the swelling is part of your pain. And then the last thing I'd say is you really have to make sure you're strong, because that IT band, anytime someone mentions that to me, I immediately think weakness. And so you would want to make sure that you got your strength back. And as long as you do,
Go ahead. I walk 2 miles every day up a hill.
Yeah, it's going to be specific.
I do yoga.
Yeah, it's going to be specifically for the weakness you have. So this is it's a good thing to talk about, because a lot of times people are very active, so they assume that activity is keeping them strong. And I'll give you, I have triathletes who come in and they're super strong and can do all kinds of wonderful things, and I'll put their hip into a very specific position and they cannot hold it up, and that's where their weakness is, and that's why they have IT band syndrome. So even though you may be strong, there could be a muscle group that's not. And the last thing I'll say about it is that when you have swelling, the muscles absolutely are inhibited. So if you have swelling, you're going to have some inhibition in the muscle, which will contribute to the problem for sure.
The thing that hurts the most is getting into the car.
Yep.
Picking up my leg to get into my car because I'm very short.
Yeah. I would go directly after your glutes. It's a perfect example. The transition from in and out of the car, it's exactly where I'd go with it. I would do manual techniques around the whole pelvis area. My guess is the muscles inside the pelvis, the psoas and the iliacus, have some tension to them, your external oblique, your glutes.
Yeah.
I've seen it before, and it's really important that you address the swelling, number one. And then number two, to have somebody demonstrate just some glute strengthening things, or even go online and look for them. But I'm sure that would be helpful.
I also have a leg discrepancy of an inch, almost.
That can adjust, though, because there are times you come out of surgery and it will be that way for a while, and the body will adjust. And I've seen that before, and that can throw off your gait a little bit. Yeah, I've seen it last for a couple years.
Go ahead, Vicki.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so compression pants.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
What are they, like tight?
They're a little bit more aggressive than tights, and they're specifically for athletes.
And James Brown,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Vicki. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Boy, you're wound up today.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray.
Wow, holy mackerel. I'd go to the decaf before the show, man. And now we go to Steve in Schenectady. Steve, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, my question is about plantar fasciitis. I'm 58 years old.
Yes.
I work out every day, 5 days a week on an elliptical machine.
Yep.
And I noticed in the last few weeks I've developed this pain in my right heel.
Yep.
One of my friends has said that it's plantar fasciitis, and I've never had that before.
Yeah.
What's causing it, and how do I make it go away?
Well, the first thing is the heel can also be the Achilles. So to clarify where the plantar fascia is, if you're looking at your – which foot is it? Make it easy.
It's my right
foot, if
and
you're
the
looking,
pain is on the heel underneath.
Yeah, but if you're looking at the right foot, it would be in the near the arch towards the heel. So it'd be the inner part of the heel. If it's on the outer part of the heel, that's your Achilles. And what plantar fasciitis comes from is there's a lot of potential reasons. Some of it is repetitive stress. Some of it can be overweight individuals who stand on their feet all day long can develop plantar fasciitis. It can come from weakness in the foot. It can come from weakness in the calf. There's a lot of potential reasons. Based on what you described, it could be that you're doing the elliptical trainer 5 days a week. And so having some cross training and doing some different activities might be in store for you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. I thought the elliptical was supposed to be low impact and very good for those who have aches and pains and whatnot.
It can be. I've had some people who don't do well on elliptical trainers, but as a general rule, yeah, it's a pretty safe machine to do.
Let's go over to Nancy in Albany. Nancy, you're on.
Oh, hello. Yes, I have. I'm over 70 years old. I injured my rotator cuff. I ended up going for physical therapy rather than surgery.
Yes.
The physical therapy, I finished with the physical therapy. I did exercises at home, but, you know, it's better than it was, but it's not completely healed.
Yeah.
And I want to know if, are there other things I can do, you know, to improve from where I am now?
Yes. Yeah, so the rotator cuff, if you have a tear to it, which, by the way, a lot of people do. So it's a more common thing, especially as we get older. The example I usually give people is if you took a rope and rubbed it on a rock, eventually the rope's going to start to fray.
Yeah.
And so we'll get that kind of tearing in tissues like the rotator cuff. So the typical strengthening for the rotator cuff has to do with bands. I've been doing a lot more isometrics lately, which is basically you would do the same type of movement you did from the PT, but then just hold the position. And the other thing that you could try is to do some manual therapy and having someone, and it could be, again, a physical therapist, it could be a massage therapist, but having them work on the muscles around the rotator cuff, people often find that to help a lot. And then the last thing is you got to make sure that the rest of the shoulder blade is working. So make sure your shoulder blade and the muscles around it, and even your thoracic spine. I tend to address all of the above when it comes to the rotator cuff.
Well, I don't know where I would get this kind of.
Oh yeah, you could definitely talk to me, and I could help you with that.
All right, Nancy, thanks for the call. By the way, if you're just tuning in and you're in Fulton or Montgomery County, National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning until 3:10 p.m. for Fulton and Montgomery counties in New York. Matthew Goodemote is our guest today on Vox Pop. Jim in Greenfield is on. Jim.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I'm 3 months post-surgery, right hip.
Okay.
And prior to surgery, I had a real tightness every time I stepped and pushed off on that side, and I still have it. I can't seem to get rid of it.
Okay.
Am I just impatient because it's only been 3 months? I don't think so. But
where is the tightness?
It feels like a tight rubber band.
Where?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you feel it?
Right down, just a little left of the top of the quad, and not full groin, but kind of in between groin and quad.
And what type of hip replacement? Was it anterior or posterior?
Well, traditional.
Traditional. So okay, that's back. A posterior. Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. So there's a few things. The first thing I would recommend is that you get to a therapist that does manual technique, because sometimes there's a tension that's in the muscle, specifically in this case the psoas or perhaps the rectus femoris. And just having that muscle to relax a little bit can lead to some improvements in pain. And then from there, to make sure your strength is good. With 3 months post-op, you're not fully done. So it's very common for it to take anywhere from 3 to 6 months to get better. And I know there's a lot of people out there who read things on the internet and people getting better in these miraculous time frames. I've been at this for over 22 years, and it's rare for someone to really be 100% before 6 months after a hip replacement. They'll be better and better as time goes on, but that 100% mark, it takes time for your body to adapt. And that traditional procedure, those muscles that got cut through, they need some time also. And all of those contribute to why things, and especially the muscle in the front, that's going to be things like walking, going up and down stairs where you're lifting the leg. And you need to have a look at that and, again, consider having somebody work on the muscles there and then teaching you the proper exercises for you and what you're still weak at. That's what I'd recommend.
Oh, well, that's reassuring. All right. And I think you described me to a T about the internet. So thanks.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Over to Ted in Pleasant Valley. Ted, you're on.
Hi, guys. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good.
Good.
My problem is that I sprained my back a couple of weeks ago, and I figured, well, it'll heal. I'll just take time, and it'll get back together.
Yeah.
But that's not happening.
Yep.
I heard, and I've been stretching. You know, I know you feel about stretching. I have to confess. That's why my approach has been to stretch my back out and try and get some relief. And to some extent it works, but it always comes back.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is there something else? I've been thinking, when I hear you talking, maybe I should be taking like full stride steps at a pace that's comfortable for me. Should that be a better approach?
Yeah, so I have all these weird slogans, and one of my weird slogans is when in doubt, move about. So it's changing positions. And I want to be very clear right now. I'm not anti-stretching. I just feel like there's better approaches. And this is actually my forte. So the spine is really my main specialty. And when it comes to the spine, what most people do is they do random stretching. I mean, they'll just go out and do a whole bunch of different stretches. They'll read online, or they'll have a friend that said these are good stretches for your back. So my technique is called the McKenzie method, and that's based on identifying your specific need. And rather than doing 5 or 6 specific stretches, I would probably have you doing 1 and maybe 2 maximum. And afterwards, the whole point of doing the stretches is 2 things. 1 is to feel better, but the other is to move better. So if you're done doing a stretch and you notice that your mobility is improved, then yes, you're doing the right thing. If you notice your mobility isn't improving, it's not working, and you would need to try something else. And I would really have you do just 1 of the stretches that you like to do and then stand up and recheck and see how your back feels. And if it feels better, just stick with the 1 stretch.
But Ted sprained his back only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty early, right?
No.
No?
No, I would have him go in 1. So the sprain, depending on how it happened, so if you have a significant trauma, then yes, you take a couple days off. But You really want to get these things moving sooner than later. And the idea of walking is a good one, with the exception of if while walking your back seems like it's getting worse, then no, it's not helping.
Oh, so you're like the Ayn Rand physical therapist. It's scaring me. Hey, okay. Ted, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Let's grab a couple of more before we get into the end of the show. Jeff, outside of Ellenville. Jeff, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
I hope the line is clear.
So far, so good, Jeff. Go ahead.
I fractured my humerus up near the shoulder. It's 5 weeks ago today.
Yes.
Last week, the doctor, my orthopedic, said that he wanted to wait 6 months to begin rehabilitation.
Yep.
And this week, he said that we were going to start rehabilitation next week.
Yes. So you're wondering why.
So, yeah, I'm wondering.
So when you fracture the humerus by the joint, one of the most common things that happens is the joint starts to become a problem. And if you wait too long, it can become a major problem. So if he is looking at how your joint is moving or not moving, then it could be he wants you to start doing some range of motion exercises for the joint specifically. It's not that physical therapy is going to do anything for your bone, the fracture, but the joint near it is why you would do it. And regarding the fracture, if there's any signs of that it's healing, then it becomes safer and safer to use. And oftentimes the initial recommendation is because it didn't seem like it was going to be a conflict with the joint. You want to let the bone heal, and then you can start things. So that's probably where it came from.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot. Now we'll go to Rose and Troy. Rose, you only have about 30 seconds here, I'm sorry to say.
That's okay. So I'll go fast. When I do yoga, specifically like warrior or triangle pose, I get a lot of pain on the side of my legs, like from the shin down, and no one's really been able to explain it.
Okay. Those muscles are stability muscles. And so the first thing I would think to do, so they're on the outer part of the lower leg. And the first thing I would think to do is checking, just see how they feel physically by pushing on them. And if they're real sore, then if you know a manual therapist or a massage therapist, have them work on them. If not, then it would be doing some foam rolling to those muscles and right before you do your yoga classes.
All right. That's where we will have to leave it. Rose, sorry we could not give you more time. Matthew Goodemote, thank you for being here
today. Thank you, Ray.
And just calm down. Everything's fine. Support comes from Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Room Full of Teeth, August 23rd, the New Orleans Sound of Cha-Wa, August 24th, and Flying Lotus, August 31st, massmocha.org. Boyden and Perrin in Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, BoydenandParron.com. And Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant at Martini Lounge at Airport Transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or AlbanyMarriott.com. Thanks again to Matthew Goodemote for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Beautiful job on the phones by Kayleen White. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, economist Hugh Johnson and Siena College professor Aaron Pasitti join us to discuss the roller coaster stock market and the global economy right now. Stand by for 51%.